I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Coming up, we'll take a look back at an extraordinary week of Capital One Cup action. We'll look ahead to some of the weekend's biggest games in the Premier League. Ahead of the Six Nations, we'll catch up with the England rugby boss, Stuart Lancaster, and Lee Peters will review England's first one-day international against India in Rajkot. Well, we'll start with the Capital One Cup semi-finals and two shock results in the first legs. League Two side Bradford City had already dumped out Wigan and Arsenal in earlier rounds. They made it three wins against Premier League opposition this season as they beat Aston Villa 3-1 at Valley Parade. Here's the reaction of Bantams boss Phil Parkinson.
Couldn't have gone much better tonight. I thought the lads were tremendous in all aspects of the game. You know, Villa came here with a very attack-minded team and we had to defend very well at times, but equally it left space on the pitch for us to exploit. And we've got some good footballers, which, you know, I'm really pleased that we showed that tonight.
Well, Villa boss Paul Lambert isn't giving up. He still thinks his players can turn the tie around.
It'll be a different game at Villa Park, that's for sure. And you have to regroup, you take the stuff that's coming your way, we have to commit the blocks. We know what we've got to do, there's no grey area.
Well, I must admit I got this one wrong. I expected Villa to look at the mistakes that Arsenal had made in the quarterfinals and learn from those. And while Villa made plenty of early chances, once Bradford got their noses in front, Villa really did crumble. And I think it was a continuation of a theme we've seen throughout the season for Villa. They have some very promising young players, the likes of Matt Loughton, Andy Vyman, Ashley Westwood, Nathan Baker, I think, is a very good defender. But they don't have any leaders in that team. Obviously, Stylian Petrov away with illness. Ron Vlaar's been injured for a long time. They've lost a lot of their veteran players. And I think that's why Villa are struggling. A lack of leadership and a lack of experience. Paul Lambert with plenty to do in the transfer window this month. Well, Chelsea were favourites to win their first leg against Swansea at Stamford Bridge. The two catastrophic errors by Branislav Ivanovic gifted goals to Michu and Danny Graham. Swans boss Michael Laudrup was understandably delighted by his side's 2-0 win.
It's a great result and we go into this second leg playing at home in front of our crowd, a full-packed stadium, with the possibility to go and play the final at Wembley, and I think that's the best for me.
The defeat piles more pressure on the Chelsea boss Rafa Benitez. He says his side should have won the game.
We had a lot of chances. We controlled the game from the first minute and we conceded two goals. So we made two mistakes and we didn't take our chances and that's it.
Well, just as Bradford City deserve huge credit for making the most of their opportunities against Aston Villa, Swansea deserve credit as well for the way they dug in at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea had plenty of opportunities, not that many shots on target, but Gerhard Tremel, the Swans goalkeeper, did what he had to do when called upon, and Swansea with those two goals on the break. Great finishes as well. Michu with a super finish for the first, and Danny Graham kept his composure in stoppage time to make the most of a bad back pass from Ivanovic. What it does is it sets up a fantastic second leg at the Liberty Stadium. Swansea, difficult situation for them in terms of how to approach the game. Do they come out defensively and try and hold what they've got, or do they go and try and add the two goals that they've got and risk being caught on the break by a very good Chelsea team? So what of this weekend's Premier League games? Well, there's a fascinating clash in the Saturday lunchtime kickoff as QPR boss Harry Redknapp comes up against Spurs for the first time since they sacked him in the summer. I'm expecting Spurs to take maximum points in this one against the Premier League's bottom side. Spurs have won six times on the road in the Premier League. Only Manchester United have scored more goals on their travels. I think the key to this game will be Spurs' threat from wide areas. I expect Gareth Bale and Aaron Lennon, who are both in very good form in the past few games, I expect them to take advantage of the fullback positions of QPR, which I think are weak. The likes of Fabio and Armand Traore, good going forward, but very vulnerable defensively. And I think Spurs can find plenty of space on the flanks. I also think, despite the fact a lot of people are saying that Harry Redknapp's doing a great job at QPR, they've only actually won two of their last nine games under him. And despite that 1-0 win at Chelsea recently, I still think that QPR have big problems in defence. I just don't think some of their players are good enough at this level, players like Clint Hill. And I think Spurs will have enough to get all 3 points in that one. Sunday really is a super Sunday. Manchester United face bitter rivals Liverpool at Old Trafford. Liverpool have improved rapidly in the past couple of months under Brendan Rodgers. And when Luis Suarez plays, there's always the potential of an upset. But it's tough to see United failing to win this one, especially if Robin van Persie continues his stellar form. Well, Sunday's other match sees Arsenal take on Manchester City. Arsenal generally strong at home, but fragile away. City in desperate need of a win to keep the pressure on United. The key to this match, I think, could be Theo Walcott. He's been in superb form for Arsenal, scored a hat-trick in the recent home win against Newcastle. If he's on top form, City will find him tough to deal with. And City, I think, have to go for the win. So we'll see if Walcott can exploit them on the break. Well, now let's switch our attention to rugby. England have named their 33-man squad for the Six Nations. That includes the uncapped duo Billy Twelvetrees, the Gloucester back, and the Northampton flanker Callum Clark. Simon Ward from the RFU podcast caught up with England head coach Stuart Lancaster to get his thoughts on the squad.
We're really excited about this squad going forward. There's been some very tough decisions to make, and some players who've dropped out the squad have been outstanding really for England and also for the clubs, and it's important to point out that this EPS squad is the start point of selection, not the end point. And I think we've seen before that players from the Saxons have been promoted and come through and taken opportunities, and that's probably a case in point with some of the changes that we've made. So the likes of Mako, Tom Youngs, Joe Launchbury, Freddie Burns, you know, these guys coming up and taking their opportunities in the autumn, you know, for us it's the right time to bring them into the senior squad. Obviously disappointing for the likes of, you know, Moritz Botha and Tom Palmer and these guys, but that doesn't mean, you know, their chances won't come again. We've also brought in, as you can see, James Haskell in replacement for Phil Dowson, who I think, you know, has been outstanding recently for Wasps. And Billy Twelvetrees gets an opportunity. You know, it was a really tight call between Billy and Anthony, and actually Anthony's got a lot of credit in the bank. What we want to do by bringing Billy in is have a chance to work with him, and the only way we can do that is do that in camp time. I think we have got continuity. I think the longer we spend time together as a coaching team, and certainly the philosophy we've taken on selection, that this group of players, there'll be players that come in and go out, younger players coming through hopefully during the time, but there should be a significant period of stability now, and we should have depth emerging in the Saxons, which we are doing, so it should be a difficult squad to get into, and when players get in there, they want to stay in there.
And finally, England's cricketers have been in action against India in the first one-day international in Rajkot. Lee Peters has the details.
Yes, and what a day's play. Alistair Cook's side have started with a 9-run win against India after a gripping contest in the first of 5 ODIs. Half centuries from Cook and Ian Bell set the visitors on their way to 325 for 4 off their 50 overs. Kevin Peterson and Owen Morgan contributed 40s before falling, and a swift and unbeaten 44 off 20 from Samit Patel made England's total even more competitive. In reply, the hosts put up a fight, with a number of batsmen taking advantage of the fast outfield to post starts. James Treadwell, though, picked up an impressive 4 for 44 with the wickets of both openers, as well as Yuvraj Singh and Suresh Raina. Now, despite a poor afternoon with the ball, the biggest contribution was arguably made by Jade Dernbach, who had a free-scoring Dhoni caught in the deep before Jadeja dragged his delivery back onto his own stumps in the same over. It was left to the tail and they fell just short. England's previous two ODI tours of India have ended in whitewashes. Not this time. Next up, it's Kochi on Tuesday.
Well, that's it for this week. From Lee Peters and myself, Kevin Hatchard, it's goodbye for now.